Hello, it's Father Jim. We're thinking of the sixth Sunday of Easter readings, and we'll soon be at Whit Sunday, Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit transformed the apostles who were locked up in an upper room. And they were blown out. The coming of the Holy Spirit was an explosion. They were blown out onto the streets, where they found, to their amazement, all sorts of people from all over the world believing, including Samaritans. And really, this was the birth of the church. I suppose the incubation period of the church was from Easter to Pentecost, when our Lord appeared and kissed them. When he appeared in the upper room, I think I mentioned a few weeks ago, our Lord breathed on them. I presume he didn't go around going, "Ha," for Peter and "Ha," for Matthew. If you're breathing on somebody, that's a kiss. And he kissed them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Reconcile people as I am reconciled with you." And those 50 days between Easter and Pentecost are really incubation period. The church in that upper room. And finally the birth came and they were blown out onto the streets, took a deep breath. And there is the infant church, very strong. And that same spirit that was given to the risen Lord, who immediately passed it on to us, passed it on to the apostles, is really our share in God's life. When I talk about the Trinity, whose feast is coming up also soon, I really feel rather dumb, but if one can say anything about it, I think the Holy Spirit is the one who goes on between the Father and the Son. And there are all sorts of things. First of all, there's giving and receiving. In eternity, whatever that means, it's beyond my comprehension, the Father has given everything to the Son. And the Son has received everything from the Father. The Holy Spirit is a gift, donum Dei, the gift of God. Now, in this world, if somebody was the giver, we tend to make the receiver feel guilty. Supposing four people are in the bar and three of them have bought a round of drinks, whether they're driving or not. The fourth person feels in debt to three drinks and simply insists, "I have a compulsion. I must buy you all a drink because I can't go home three drinks in debt." Say, whether they're driving or not. Because in this world, we tend to canonize the givers and patronize the receivers. You can make people feel guilty if they receive. But within the Godhead, when the Son receives everything from the Father, he's not feeling guilty. He's given the Father the gift of being able to give. Can you imagine anything more frustrating than wanting to give and nobody will receive? The joy of giving is made by the person who receives. "Thank you. Thank you," says the Father, "for allowing me to be at my best. Because in my giving my all to you, you've received everything. And having received everything, you, Lord, can give everything." And it's from the Lord's fullness that we've received. So in our nothingness, the Father wants to give us all that he gives to his Son, that Spirit. And so when we receive the Holy Spirit, God's kiss, when we receive God's love, we've made God's day. He says, "Jim, thank you. I want to give you my all." And without feeling guilty or feeling a heel or demeaned or diminished, you've received everything in your nothingness. Because as Our Lady said, he looks on us in our nothingness, but he whose might has done great things to us, if only we'll be gracious enough to receive. So I really want to say that to receive with grace is as great a thing as to give with grace. Because if we haven't received, we have nothing to give. And generous people are always giving, and their lazy muscle might be receiving. So in the end, they ran out of energy. The larder's bare. We can only give what we first received. And so it's for the whole world that we allow God to give to us. Abundantly. Pressed down, shaken together, bubbling over. So that people can say of us, it is from our fullness people have received. And I suppose the greatest consent word is Amen. Gratefully, Lord, I accept everything you give me, for me and for others. Okay, there are some people who, when they receive, you have to sort of wring their neck to get anything out of them. It's like a sponge. I'm presuming if we're generous, anything we receive, everyone's going to benefit from it. It's just that unless we first received, we can't give anything. So between the Father and the Son, there's something to do with giving and receiving. There's something to do with intimacy. I and the Father are one. It is a ravishing communion, union, intimacy. And that same Spirit is offered to us to be intimate with God. I mean, our Lord used words that were given some Freud and people, you know, a lifetime's work to think about. How's this for intimacy? As I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, you remain in me, and I will remain in you, and I shall come to make my home within you. So between now and Pentecost, Whit Sunday and Trinity Sunday, I'll be making some other noises about what's going on with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of intimacy for today, the Spirit of giving and receiving. And next time, we'll think of some other fruits of the Holy Spirit. Meanwhile, please, consent, and let the Father give you everything he wishes, and that you'll be gracious enough to receive. Amen.